6000 for 10,000.
270, climb to 12,000, South 1063.
That Zegras stuff. I wrote my 24-25 opening night prediction piece, and
Love that, Dan. I checked it out. It was awesome.
There's an entire thread under the post on Beverly Puck where people are like enraged that Zegras only has 60 points. He only's got 60 points. He's never done it. He only has 60 points. And I'm just like,
idiots.
Wait a second. Didn't these people just jerk off last year when Konechny scored 60 points for the first time? Like he was fucking Wayne Gretzky. You know, incarnated. They treated him like a king, and Zegras has 60 points, and it's just 60 points. And the fucking thing about that is, if Danny Breer actually pulls the trigger and brings in Zegras, all these people would bow down to him and love Zegras because Breer acquired him, because that's their guy, right? Whatever Breer does, they're going to go for. That's just the responses to that one, which is funny because it's ultimately not that different. It's Zegras, Reinhart, Noah Hanifin and Anthony Stolarz. Those are the only four additions that I made there, which is all financially feasible, you know, with a few easy moves. You can do it easy enough. And adding two NHL caliber centers should be priority number one beyond all else of this team. Adding a top defenseman in Hanifin that Drysdale can play with is better. He's playing with fucking Mark Stahl tonight, for Christ's sake.
It's disgusting.
That's there, and then just a backup goaltender who I filled in with Stolarz. Like, there's not a lot of moves there. It all made sense. And boy, people find a way to hate this one. I'm just like, what do you want? What do you want on this? Like, Connor McDavid? I wrote the piece last year when Draisaitl rumors popped up, and people bitched about that too. We don't want Draisaitl. He's only got 3 years left in his contract. We don't want this. I'm just like, fuck you. He's like, if you can convince yourself you don't want that, and we don't want Zegras. We don't want Reinhardt. I'm like, what do you want? What more could you want for this team right now? Listen, in a perfect world, is Zegras your number one? No. But that's the best you're going to get right now, so he should be the guy. I just, the anger people have towards these pieces at the idea of doing the absolute bare minimum to try and turn this roster into a competitive thing just blows my mind every time I write that piece.
I mean, it is ridiculous, Dan. I thought the same thing. I read that piece. I thought it was outstanding. It got me so excited for next year because, I mean, it would take some legwork for sure, but is it feasible?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I think there's a shot there. It's not zero. There's definitely a chance there. And then the Zegras thing was just asinine, some of those people, because it's like, look, like if Zegras had scored 100 points the past two seasons, newsflash, you ain't going to get him.
See, yeah.
He ain't going to be traded. So the only way to get that player, which we've been through a million times, is they have to have some level of decreased value, not fitting in off year, other replacements, whatever, and the Flyers are able to get that player in, and then that player takes off. It's the perfect model example is to bring in a guy like a Trevor Zegras. That's exactly what they need to be doing in order to succeed a couple of years down the line. And to say that, oh, he's damaged goods, he topped out at 60, he's not good enough, or something – that's ridiculous. You are never going to build shit if that is the attitude that you have.
It's just that frustrated shit out of me when I was reading that piece and those replies. And just like, 60, first of all, 60 points on the Ducks team. The guy's a human highlight reel. You put him with some actual talent, I bet he can do more than 60 points.
Yeah. That's the thing, though, is I read a lot of the comments and people are just picking at straws. Well, he doesn't really fit with the Flyers, what they're doing. Really? He doesn't?
How?
He's at worst is a 2C, a position of dire need for this team. Like, this team is fucking treading water with center. Like, really? Doesn't fit.
Well, no. Have you seen him play defense?
Okay. You don't get a 1C because of his ability to play defense. I don't give a fuck if Connor McDavid doesn't, you know, fucking play defense. I really don't. There's other guys on his line that can do that for him. And granted, Connor McDavid's the type of guy that at least he has pride, and he's not going to be like a super liability out there.
It's always the Alex Ovechkin thing. People, Alex Ovechkin doesn't play defense. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. He's scoring 60 goals a year. He doesn't have to play defense.
Like, yeah. The idea that you can build a cup contending roster through a dozen Scott Laughton, Sean Couturier's, and Noah Cates's is just completely fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't work. You need a balanced roster. And the one thing this team does not have and hasn't had in years is elite high level talent that can score and make plays. Like, that stuff doesn't grow on trees. If you have a way to get that person and they fit the timeline with this alleged rebuild, AKA Zegras, you do it. You absolutely do it. Because I got a news flash again. You ain't picking in the top three, the top four, the top five, probably not even the top 10 for the foreseeable future during this fucking rebuild. So where are you going to get those kind of players? You know, you're not.
There was a comment there. One of them was something along the lines of like, well, he's a fine regular season player, but I wouldn't want him in the playoffs. And I'm like, first and foremost, Zegras has never played in the postseason. Zegras has never played in the postseason. The Flyers haven't been in the playoffs in three fucking years. And what does that even mean? I want a player built for the play. What the fuck? What does that mean? A player built for the postseason? Just fuck off. I know when these excuses get ridiculous like this, it's because there's no actual straws to build from. And, you know, just doing this stuff for the website, writing the Zegras stuff, like, there are very few negatives I can come up with here. Usually when you go after somebody, there's something you can go, okay, like, you don't want it. Like Sam Reinhardt, right? The guy's 28. And 28, he's playing on an offensive firepower like the, you know, Florida Panthers, kind of doing his thing. Is he going to do the same thing here? Maybe not. He doesn't have the longevity. Zegras is young. He's talented. He's proven he can succeed on a bad team. The Flyers are going to be a huge step up from whatever it is the Ducks are. Like, I cannot think of a gigantic negative this guy has that would be so against it. And I think that's clear that nobody else has a, you know, home run against it either. When you read some of these comments and they say shit like, well, he's not a postseason performer, Daniel. Fuck you. How do you know that?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's like, sorry, all the guys on Colorado aren't available, or Tampa, like, yeah, we can't get them. So what do you want?
Sorry, guys. Mary Lemieux retired fucking 25 years ago.
Yeah. Shit, we can't get Nathan McKinnon. What the hell? Yeah. Damn. Why?
Yeah, like these excuses. It's like, you know, he's too soft. Okay. He's going to play with like Travis Konecny and Owen Tippett. I don't think the soft is going to be the issue. Like, Konecny will be doing a lot of the physicality there, right on that line.
Yeah.
Well, he can't play defense. Well, he can't do this. Well, he can't do... Well, you know what? He gets 60 points a year. That's more than any of these fucking guys on this team right now.
Pretty much.
So, yeah. I don't understand the problem. The problem is that all the people making these comments, he's too soft. He doesn't have a postseason. This, that, the other. You know what it is? The only guy that would make them happy is a clone of Eric Lindros or a clone of Mike Richards. Because that's all these idiots know.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they don't know anything.
Another
else.
Sean Couturier.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, you know, if you look at this situation here, that if they get a player like that, the idea is that that player is going to blossom and get better through their 20s with the Flyers. Like, that's the idea.
They get better, yes, and they make everyone around them better.
Yes, like, oh, like, he's not going to top out at 60 points for the next 10 years. Absolutely not. I would expect him to come here once the adjustment's made, get some better teammates. Michkov comes over. We're talking 80-plus points a year for a guy like Trevor Zegras, probably a 30 to 40 goal scorer. He's going to be a great first-line player with the right players around him and right coaching. Like, he has that ability. So why would you not want to start your rebuild and take a chance on a guy like that?
And he's also great on the power play, by the way. You're fucking dead last power play here when you need all the help you can get there. You have someone like that. That'd be another addition, another positive. Nah, we don't want him. Just fuck off. These people don't want anybody. If there's one thing I've learned over the years, every single trade deadline and offseason, I go right every last trade, free agent, RFA, everything. Every last fucking one of them is shot down, no matter how big or small they are. Nobody wants anything. They just want these group of players. That's it. No outsiders. Fuck. How? How is that possible? How could anybody give a fuck about any of these players at this point?
And also, like, their development, like, the Flyers' development needs to get drastically better over, like, immediately for this rebuild to work as well. I mean, I think, Dan, you had a really funny comment. I think it was today or something about, who was it, Ollie Lexell.
God damn it, the way they handle this guy drives me nuts. All these prospects drives me nuts.
Why don't you take us through this situation here? With
they called up Ollie Lexell.
It's pretty embarrassing.
Before the All-Star game, and I guess as of this recording, he's still officially on the roster. By the time you hear this, I got to assume he's in the AHL, or he's still been scratched the entire fucking time. They called him up earlier in the season. He played six shifts and then spent 2.5 weeks in the press box. He got called up at the end of January. He played three games, 11 minutes, 13 minutes, and 14 minutes. On the 23rd, 25th, and 27th, he then proceeded to spend the entire fucking All-Star break on the main roster while the Phantoms played five games and got their asses kicked into their ass because he's their top forward and he's gone. And then he came back against Florida and didn't play, came back against Winnipeg, didn't play. I would assume whoever the fuck they play next, he's not going to play if he's not already back in the AHL. This is just mismanagement to an insane fucking level. Ollie Lexell, this guy's a power play, point per game guy in the AHL, beast on the power play, and they're not using him. They're not using him, they're not using Andre. Bobby Brink got sent down and has been tearing up the AHL, but they don't want to use him in the NHL. This prospect thing, this is how you fail, right here, is by not playing your young guys, because it's so fucking critical that Ryan Poehlin gets re-signed, that Nick Seeler gets re-signed, that you just push these guys to the curb. There's another reason why you should be acquiring Trevor Zegras. Use these talented prospects you have as trade chips to address holes on your main roster. You're just pissing away their careers for no reason right now. They have zero intention of playing this guy at the NHL. Zero. It's so frustrating. How do you have a guy that succeeds in the power play like Ollie Lexell does? He was the AHL leader in power play goals and points for a vast majority of this season before these call-ups fucked everything up. How do you have somebody like that on your dead last ranked power play and you sit him in the press box for 2.5 weeks? That's so insanely frustrating. I've had people say, well, Daniel, he's on the main roster. He's getting paid more, which, like, is true, but he's on a $750,000 contract, so even his big paycheck that he's getting sitting on the main roster isn't a huge improvement from what he's making in the AHL.
Even care if he's getting paid more, too?
Woohoo, you get $200 more a week than you did in the AHL. Whoop the fucking do, but he's not playing!
I think that is such a great example of the mismanagement here that we've seen with bringing up prospects and whatnot and figuring out how to integrate them into the actual roster itself. I mean, the All-Star break fiasco is outrageous. Like, they weren't even practicing during that time.
No, they were all in Mexico.
What were they doing? Did he want a vacation? Is that what they wanted?
Or well, Alexa was probably sitting in a fucking hotel room in Philadelphia somewhere. He probably was on vacation.
Yeah, he's probably waiting in Voorhees, staring at a wall.
Probably.
It's just outrageous. Like, when you see stuff like that, it's like, how can you have confidence that the team knows what they're doing when it comes to integrating young players, getting them the requisite experience in the NHL, making the proper decisions on them at the proper times? I mean, it's just a freaking fiasco. We saw this for years through all the other regimes with all these other prospects that have come up. It is like pulling teeth trying to get these guys NHL experience, or at least figuring out when and how to do it. Like, they don't know what they're doing with any of this stuff. I mean, yeah, are they going to trade all these guys at the deadline and then all of a sudden bring up a lot of these other guys from the AHL, the Andres and the Addards and, you know, the Lixells and all that sort of stuff?
They're probably not going to.
Right. They should, but they won't. And it's like, why? And then you're just wasting a whole nother year here. And then one thing that they said when this new front office came in was how critical the development is going to be. And they got to do a better job with that and all this stuff. It's like, well, I haven't seen much of anything this season. The only guy who's the guy on this roster that we've actually seen take some steps forward that's a younger player. I mean, I guess you might be able to argue a little bit on the Owen Tippett side. I guess Morgan Frost has taken a few steps forward.
Tippett and
slow,
Frost
but
are fine.
Yeah.
Forster's at least played every game, which is rare for, you know, the rest of these rookies, considering most of them are sat and fucking demoted. But, you know, he's been fine. He hasn't quite been the star that anybody expected him to be. But it's just...
But that's it.
You know, Brink has been fighting an uphill battle all season before he eventually got demoted. And believe it or not, he goes down to the AHL, gets a fuck ton of offensive minutes and power play minutes, and he looks great! What a surprise! Here we're going to play him on the third and fourth line for fucking 2 months between his benchings. And, well, man, I wonder why he's not succeeding at the NHL. Because he's playing, he's 5 foot fucking eight. No shit, he's not succeeding on your fourth line. He's a scorer. Let him score goals. This topic just frustrates me more and fucking more as we go on here. You cut the legs out from Wade Allison. You cut the legs out from Lezinski. Andre has been awesome in the AHL, and you gave him 4 games in the NHL. Before you send it down. Bobby Brink, same thing. You see these guys succeed. The reason none of these fucking prospects make it is because you don't give them an opportunity to succeed in the NHL. You're going to call up Andre. Oh, no, he didn't succeed playing next to Mark Stahl for 4 games. Yeah, no fucking shit, because it's not what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be out there playing an offensive role, leading the power play. If you let these guys do their things, they would have success. Calling up Bobby Brink and putting him on the fourth line with fucking Nick Deslauriers and Ryan Poehling is not going to let him succeed. This shouldn't be fucking rocket science here. You're actively failing your development. And the goddamn Phantoms are a whole different story. That Ian LaPerriere asshole can't do anything. You know what?
Hey.
Listen.
We don't slander Ian LaPerriere on this fucking podcast.
I'm torn on LaPerriere. Because you know what? At the end of the day, he's not setting any of his prospects up to fail, except Zayd Wisdom. I don't think he likes Zayd Wisdom very much. But everybody else, they go down there, they get those minutes. It's not like Bobby Brink got demoted and then was playing fourth line in the AHL. He was on the top line playing top power play minutes doing his thing. Samu Tuomala, this guy was supposed to be nothing. He's fucking awesome right now.
He's an all-star.
Because they're giving him the opportunity to succeed. No shit, Tanner Lezinski, career year. Wade Allison's having a good year. Like, all these guys, the prospects individually are succeeding because they're being put in roles to succeed. As bad as that team is, and it's mainly because their goaltending sucks and their offensive depth is non-existent, but, like, the prospects are still being developed. They're still succeeding individually. And then you call them up, and you play fucking in, 1 foot out with them. They fail, you send them back down, and write off their entire career. I am so fucking frustrated with these prospects. Because this is how you build a failing team. We just have to re-sign Ryan Poehling. Fuck Bobby Brink. You know, like, why? Why would you shoot yourself in the foot voluntarily like that? I just develop one of these guys. Play one of these guys in the NHL. If they gave Olli Lexell top 6 minutes and power play time, I guarantee he'd be succeeding right now. Why is that so difficult? Why are they so against doing that? Because they're not fucking rebuilding. They're just doing whatever John Tortorella wants to do. I'm recovering from COVID. I shouldn't be yelling like this, but God damn it. This topic gets me so worked up.
Yeah. Well, I think Torts is kind of, I think he's definitely part of the issue here because he has this, you know, this mentality of, well, I want to put a good product on the ice and I want to try to get everything I can out of this team and I want to win for the fans and I want to give them something to cheer for and all that stuff. And, you know, that's great, Torts, but now's not the time for that. I mean, there's going to be, you know, he talks about this pain and stuff like that. And, like, I just think that his brain is just constantly, like, I think he knows what needs to be done eventually, but he just can't stomach himself.
He just takes forever to get from point A to point B in this process.
Yeah, he's just not the right coach for this time period of the team. I mean, I've said it for a year now. He's not the right coach for this team at this particular time. Just not it. Absolutely not it. It's like, I don't care that he's maximizing the Ryan Poehlings and even Scott Lawton's not even having a good year, but like maximizing the Nick Sealers and all that. It's like, I don't care that he's maximizing. That's not the goal right now. The goal is to get a lot of the guys that Dan was just talking about.
Their goal is to integrate the talented youngsters you have in your system to the NHL, and they're actively not doing that. Ronnie Adder, why is Ronnie Adder not in the NHL right now? Because they had to sign Mark Stahl. Because it's so fucking critical that Nick Sealer gets minutes. Why? Why? There's no good reason for it. None.
Well, there's 8 defensemen on the team. You can't bring up Adder. Like, that would be crazy right now.
There shouldn't be 8 defensemen on the team in the first place.
I agree with you. But this goes way beyond just John Tortorella. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but where the fuck are the leadership of – where's Alan McCauley? Is this guy even real? I still have not seen a fucking interview with this guy. Still don't know what the fuck his philosophy is here with these players. Why was he brought in to be the general manager of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms?
Because he was already in the organization and just promoted to the role.
Right. So in other words, he was fucking
like everybody else.
He was parking cars for fucking everybody in that front office.
Yeah.
And then they figure, you know what? This kid, he hasn't scratched my car.
Yay, here, nepotism.
Kid, you got the keys to the fucking kingdom in the AHL. My point is where is Alan McCauley picking up the phone saying, Danny, we need Ollie Lixell back in the AHL right now.
Yeah.
We're trying to push for a playoff spot.
That's a great point.
We're trying to do as good as we can. There's no point in you keeping him up there for 2 weeks fucking diddling himself. There's no point.
In Voorhees.
We need him. He needs to play games anyways. Send him down here. If you want to take him back after you guys are back, take him. But he needs to play in the meantime. He can help us. Where's Ian LaPerriere pushing for, you know, this guy to come back? Mm-hmm. Where is the entire development strategy here? That's the problem. And that's the thing is everybody's going to hang their hat on, well, if they're good enough, they would be in the NHL. Well, the problem is they need to play. Whether they're in the NHL or the AHL, they need to play.
And then, I hate that excuse. I hate that. Well, if they were good enough, they'd be in the NHL. Too. Well, how the fuck do you know if they're cut out for the NHL if they're never given an opportunity to play in the NHL? If they're point-per-game players in the AHL, or close to it, as most of these guys are, Tuomala, Lexell, Addard, Andre, those guys should be in the NHL. Right? Well, they're not going to make it. How do you know that? Bobby Brink played 38 games, and I've had people in my fucking mentions ever since going, well, he's not cut out for the NHL. You can make that determination after 38 games in a role that he's not built for whether Bobby Brink is going to have a successful NHL career or not? That's bullshit. Bullshit. You got to play him at the NHL to know what you have. This shouldn't be like a fucking controversial opinion. And every time I talk about these prospects, I get fucking, my mentions are full of shitheads. That just have, he shouldn't be playing this one. He shouldn't be doing that. They're doing just fine with it. They don't need Bobby. Just fuck off.
Yeah, they don't need him. Yeah. Well, you know, I can understand to an extent that there is a balance with some veteran players that are on the roster. You can't have, you know, all rookies in every position, but I don't really think that's what we're advocating here. And I think it comes down to two. It's like, look, you need these players, and I don't care what you have to do, but they have to, one, a bunch of them have to hit their ceiling. You're going to need to do that with a lot of these guys. And number two, you're going to probably need a couple of them to exceed what you think their ceiling is and overperform. And you have to have a couple of players that fit those type of frameworks. The Flyers don't have none that are even in those categories yet. And it doesn't seem like they're on the track to obtain them or those players are going to blossom into that. I mean, maybe down the line, I guess, but you know, I can definitely see Dan's frustration here is that they're going to need to do more to integrate these guys and see what they have and stop spinning their wheels with a lot of these other veterans on short-term deals right now and be more aggressive with the young guys. You know, I think that's really how you're going to have to go with it.
The public perception on this one is always so funny, too, because just a few years ago, you had people get on the cross for guys like German Rubtsov. You know, it's so critical that Rubtsov plays. It's so critical this one. I'm like, German Rubtsov was a bottom six forward in the AHL for a vast majority of the time that he was there when he was not missing long stretches with injury. That guy sucked. All those Hextall prospects, one after the other, just weren't very good, and people would just convinced that they were. And now you have an AHL roster that has some legitimate talent here. Not a whole lot, but you got some. Andre Addard, Lexell, Tuomala. Those are your big four right now. And Wade Allison, but they already long since given up on him. Like, you have the talent. You have guys that should be carving out NHL roles. And there's just no good reason for they're here other than we have random depth guys that need it. I can't take it. I can't take it. They're going to set themselves up for failure. These are all guys that are going to go elsewhere. When they don't re-sign Wade Allison this year, and he signs with the fucking Capitals, and they give him an NHL opportunity, and he succeeds, they're going to, oh, damn, well, we had this guy, and we gave up on him because Tortorella didn't want to use him in a meaningful way. So we had to just send him to the AHL. Like, this is what's going to happen with these guys. They're going to go out and succeed elsewhere. And you're going to go, God damn it, we never even gave an opportunity to play in the NHL here. Because it was so fucking critical, we signed Garnet Hathaway.
Is the whole philosophy flawed?
Yes.
In terms of, they say that the philosophy is we need to be patient and we need to build this the right way. And then there's also the part of we need the good culture in the room and we need to establish a winning culture. Are those two things incongruent? Are they at odds with each other? Because they're trying to do it in a way where, well, the young guys aren't playing well, so we're sending them down. Or we're reducing their ice time. Or they're sitting in the press box or whatever. Whereas, Dan, what you're saying is for proper player development, they need to play, and they need to play in roles that they're going to succeed in, whether it's at the AHL level or the NHL level. If you're not willing to do that, then really the focus is on win now. That's really your philosophy. Let's win right now. Let's do as good as we can right now. And then it's not really about development. It's not really about the young players. It's not really about prospects. It's not really about any of that stuff. It's about the coach wants to Mike, to your point, is wired to win. That's all he wants to do. Win hockey games, get points, and that's it. John Tortorella doesn't care. I said this before. He doesn't care about player development. That's not his fucking job. Mm-hmm. His job is to win hockey games. That's where the leadership of the team and where the leadership of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms needs to come into play. At some point, both of these franchises have to be working together under the same umbrella, because ultimately they have to pull in the same direction to try to get a winner here. And if they're not, then I'm not sure what we're doing here. If we're going to have Alan McCauley as general manager in Lehigh, and literally he doesn't say a fucking word, he basically sits there and does nothing. He sits behind his fucking cherry oak desk and like fucking does Sudokus fucking every day. I don't know what he does.
Who knows?
Then what's the point? If he's not going to be, you know, why did he get the job? Is it because he's a yes man? Is it because he's going to sit there in Lehigh, shut his mouth and do as he's told? Or do you want to put a guy in there that's going to say, hey, Danny, listen, respectfully, we need all you excel. Bring him down. We're going to play. We want to make the playoffs here. Don't forget, that looks bad on him. If the team doesn't make the postseason, that's on him. He's a GM. It's on Lappy. He's the coach. Like, don't these guys want to win? Where's their desire to win? So the NHL team is in win mode. Let's do anything to win and the culture. And then in the Lehigh, it's not about culture and it's not about winning. It's about development. But yet it's not about development because they're not fucking pushing to get these guys ice time.
No.
Like, there's a huge disconnect here with Lehigh Valley, and I don't really know how to fix it other than the fact that you got to get somebody in there who's going to speak up and say what's on their mind. You can't be afraid to engage. If this is such a collaborative organization, then where's the voices from Lehigh in this to say, we want players and we want to try to do something here. We can't win with the players that we have. We need more. We need help. We need guys to actually play. Yeah.
One thing that I would like to see one of the beat writers do, and this could be done at any time, really, is a story that dissects what this front office is doing differently than the previous front offices did when it comes to developing players. Specifically, what are they doing differently? And it's not just, oh, well, we hired Alan McCauley. No, like, that's not good enough. What exactly is being done differently to do a better job and change the previous mistakes and failures of the prior regimes? And right now, we don't know. And it doesn't appear that there's anything being done, because it seems like the players are being treated the same way. The young guys, when they perform well in the AHL, are kind of being sent up here and scoffed at by the head coach and then sent back down.
Yep.
And, you know, that's a pattern that we see year after year. And we don't see any players that are really taking that next step in terms of contributing to the NHL team. So what is going on behind the scenes here? What's the philosophy? What is happening? What are the metrics? You know, those are the questions that need to be answered. Of course, none of the beat writers are going to do that because it's too probing, and the team will think it's offensive that someone is even questioning what they're doing behind the scenes, or that they don't know what they're doing potentially behind the scenes. So we probably won't see that, but I think that's one of the big, that's one of the big elephants in the room here, because again, that's one of the core pillars that, that Breer and Jones had talked about when they got these jobs last May, was how the development is going to be a lot different than it was in the past.
And on the whole, it hasn't, you know, they succeed in the AHL. They get called up, benched for 2.5 weeks, and then sent back down. And that's a pretty consistent story. The guys that make it, you know, Bobby Bring made it out of camp, and it was an uphill battle for 3 months for the guy to get ice time. He was being scratched regularly. For why? Because there's no good reason for this stuff. And it just, it absolutely frustrates me. We talked about this in the last episode, but looking to 24-25, their roster's under contract already. A vast majority of it. It's not like, oh, well, Lexel, you struggle through this season being called up and sent back down, but you'll earn a spot next year. Nope. There's no spot for him to earn next year. The forward group is set. So what's the point? You're not... this topic, man.
Yeah. It's really frustrating to look at it.
This is the first time in a long time I lost my cool on one of these shows.
Well, nice. At the NHL level, then if you don't like Bobby Brink, then instead of just crushing his trade value or just playing this out for another year or two and fucking just bleed out his contract with him bouncing up and down between the AHL and the NHL.
They love it.
This is where you sit there in the offseason and you go, okay, Anaheim, we're at the draft table. We'll give you a first. We'll give you Bobby Brink. And then you want one of our seconds this year? You want next year's second? Like, what do you want? Let's figure out a way to make the Zegras thing happen. You know, tell me what you want. Do you want a different pick, first round pick? What do you want? Do you want two firsts and Brink? Do you want Brink? Do you want a defensive prospect? Like, what do you want?
I'd give anything. I'd give all three. If the Flyers get a pick for Walker, I'd give all three of their first round picks for Zegras, and I'd be happy. It's going to be picks, 14 through 27 or
pretty
something?
Pretty much,
so. Manny, that's exactly what you should be doing. It's a great idea. That's what a general manager should be doing. That's what you should be doing with players that you think you may not have a spot for. But you're right. They bleed these guys out and just keep bleeding them out, and then they have no value, and then they become God knows what, just walk off into irrelevance. So...
you know what this reminds me of? It's like, think about it. Brent Flair does a great job picking players. He does a pretty damn good job, I'd say. Better than average, I think, for sure. So it's like you have a guy that's able to, you know, lay out on the table, look at these players that I've selected, and now they're in our system. Here you go. It's like a parent buying like a brand new Transformers, you know, car or whatever, a big giant toy, comes in a big box, you know, it's fucking got all the bells and whistles, it's got batteries included, it fucking makes noise, it does all anything the kid wants to do. And you give it to the kid, and what do? They play with the fucking box. You spend fucking $300 on this fucking toy, and the kid just can't even care less because he doesn't understand how to fucking play with it. All he knows is to put the box over his fucking head and run around like a fucking moron. And that's kind of like the development of this team. You got Brent Flair's giving you these beautiful toys, and it's like you don't even know what the fuck to do with it, do you? In Lehigh Valley.
No, they're actively wasting it. You don't know what to do with
it. Yeah, exactly. You're going to fucking play with the box.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're
going to
fucking mess around. And instead, it's like, wow, I just wasted my time, wasted my money. You know, Brent Flair is not going to be here forever.
Once Fletcher gets a new GM job, he's going there.
Yeah, they can bring Chris Pryor back and have these guys swing and miss at every available opportunity.
Hey, Brent, it's me, Chuck. Hey, Chuck, it's been a while, man. How you doing? Good. I just got a new job. I'm managing a Wendy's up in upstate Pennsylvania. Want to know if you want to get the band back together. I got a drive-through position open for you. You'd like to join me? Fuck no. Click.
Yeah, I mean, they could bring Fletcher in as a senior advisor.
Yeah. Oh.
Imagine that. That'd be nasty. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with this development stuff. But I think I agree with the tenor of this conversation a lot. I just am not – I'm very skeptical about what they're doing. They haven't really proven anything to me on this front. I think they're behind. I think that they, again, are behind with what they're doing with their prospects. Even this is year one of the new regime, I think they are behind with these guys. Yep. Because for whatever reason, there's probably a number of variables, one of which is, well, our guys are doing so great at the NHL level, we don't need anybody else. And that is exactly what you don't want to be doing in year one.
No, the only guys that they know exactly what to do with are the guys that it's a slam dunk that anybody knows what to do with. Mm-hmm. Matvei Michkov, okay, we're going to plop him in a top six role right off the bat. Yeah, no shit. Like, everybody knows that. You're not sending that guy to the AHL. Everybody knows that.
He won't get sent to the AHL, but he will get his turn on the fourth line at some point if Tortorella's still here.
God. No, and then you know what? Come to think of it, and I know everybody hates Cutter Gauthier, but maybe Cutter Gauthier doesn't want to deal with this kind of bullshit.
I wouldn't.
You know, although he's of the pedigree where he wouldn't be bounced up and down to the AHL, but mm-hmm. for him to, you know, go pro, and now you're going to send me to the AHL right away? Like, you're not going to give me my opportunity? You're not going to let me, you know, mm-hmm. go for my shot in the NHL? So you're just going to bounce me around and do whatever? I'm not playing your game. See,
I mean, it's definitely possible. I don't know exactly all of the reasons, but sure. You know, obviously contract stuff. But yeah, I think that potentially could have been on the table. You know, he has resources here through Hayes and through whomever, and through his agent, and says, look, this is what they're doing in Philly when it comes to their young players. There's risk involved here as a young player coming into this team, that you may be shuffled back and forth, or you may be treated in a way that you feel is unnecessary and improper. And, you know, you need to weigh that in your decision when you tell the Flyers you're not talking to them anymore and to trade you. And I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, I don't know how intimately involved he is in terms of knowledge of this process here that we're talking about now, but I'd imagine, you know, it probably runs through your head if you're a cocky as shit, you know, 19-year-old that thinks they should be on the NHL club.
I just think it's crazy that the Flyers talk so much about culture and making sure everything is so perfect from a culture perspective. And then, like, they don't, that feeling clearly is not reciprocated when it comes to the Phantoms. It's like they pulled a pin on a grenade and threw it down to Lehigh and just boom, let it blow the fuck up. Like, these guys, you know, it's happened less in the season's gone on. I think everyone has more or less gotten their shit together and made peace with the situation they're in. But earlier on the year, you heard what a bad apple Wade Allison was. You heard what a bad apple, you know, these guys that should have been in the NHL, you know, Adderd, Lazinski, Lexell, Andre, Allison, Desnoyers, and there was like the first cut from camp. Like, you have a lot of bad apples down there. You're talking about all this culture this, culture that, and it's just like you pissed off an entire roster because of the way you mishandled them so badly. And I think that was a big reason why this team was so bad in October and November. And now it's just because they just don't have enough talent to be successful. Their goaltending is a disaster. But, like, on the whole, it's just those guys are pissed off. You know, when that Allison stuff came out about him, he wasn't doing anything right, and he's a cancer in the room and all that. It's like, yeah, you know what? I don't fucking blame the guy one bit for being angry about that situation. I don't blame any of these players if they're pissed off about the situation they're in. Like, the writing is on the wall. If it's clear that I can see it, I assume these players can see it as well. You know, Ronnie Adderd. He's on a one-way contract next season. That poor bastard already signed an extension. What are the odds he's in the NHL next year? Probably pretty slim. And if he is, then he's not going to be playing. He's going to be the fucking seventh or eighth guy if they keep Nick Seeler. You know, like, why even bother drafting in the first place? Oh, we're going to hoard all these draft picks. We're going to sell Sean Walker and Lawton for second-round picks and have all this stuff and Gonta. We're going to draft 9 players in the first 2 rounds and then never play any of them in the NHL. Just like... it's such a weird counterculture to what they're trying to build at the NHL versus what they're doing with their AHL roster.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the AHL roster right now, and Dan, this question's for you because you obviously watch. I don't watch any of the Phantoms.
Lucky you.
So Tanner Lazinski's having a really good season. For
best
what
year
I
of his career.
Right?
Yep.
Well, he's a UFA.
Yep.
So does he sign?
Fuck no.
And is that him or is that the team making that
call? I think it's him.
It's probably him. I can't imagine the team's interested at this point, but there's no way this guy would come back. There's no way Wade Allison would come back. I think he's an RFA, actually, but there's no way he's re-signing with this team. There's no way.
Oh, okay,
the grass is greener elsewhere.
Cooper Marody's also, I think, on the top line, right?
Yeah, he's more of a middle sixer, but he is succeeding points-wise, yes.
Okay, he's a UFA as well. He coming back?
No.
Okay, so there you go. There's two of your top scorers already fucking gone next year. Like I don't know what they're doing. Like what are they thinking with here? Is it just like natural progression that all these other guys, J.R. Avon, you know, Rhett
Avon
Gardner.
Is actually pretty good. I like J.R. Avon.
Yeah, I know. I liked him when he was on the Peterborough Petes. Samu Tuimala still got a couple years as an entry level deal. Like these are guys that are going to stick around. Gendron should come back. I know he's in juniors now.
It is fucking funny. They had Gendron. And they were playing him every other game on the fourth line as a 19-year-old. Completely set him up to fail. And then the second they send him down, they lost Garrett Wilson. They traded Jordy Bellerive. They got it's just like, all of a sudden, the second they send him down and a roster spot's actually open. Ah, that was annoying. They should have just used him better. See, I really liked him, too. He had the speed and shot. He had everything to be doing what he was doing, but they just weren't giving him a chance because the roster's so crowded with wingers for some reason, believe it or not.
Shouldn't Tuimala be primed to be on the Flyers next year?
You would think.
I mean, I can't imagine, like, I mean, what else do you want from the guy right now? Like, he was drafted, what, 3 years ago? Or 4 years ago?
2020, I think it was. He was 21.
Okay, so it's been a while.
One
yeah,
of
I mean, he's had enough because he had a number
of
years.
He was 21. That was the Ristolainen trade when they got rid of
first
round pick.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's had a number of years in Europe. And then it's come over and, you know, as an AHL all-star and as a young player, that's pretty much
35 points in 43 games. He's a power play beast. He's just doing everything right offensively. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like, why are you going to bury that kid again next year? Like, shouldn't you be making plans that he's coming up to the NHL? And look, if he fucking sucks up here for more than a year or two, fine. But like, you need to, this is the progression because he's fitting the timeline of the players that you want on this team to be good in a couple of years. So why would you bury him? But he's one of the guys that I'm sure is going to continue to be buried. There's no question in my mind.
Because they re-signed all their wingers.
Yeah.
And there's no room for him. So
yeah, there's no room.
Tough shit. Get
they
back to the
AHL. To make any room. So it's like, yeah, go play between 3 to 5 years in the AHL. And then at that point, you know, you're 27 and then it's like, oh, well, he's too old, and there's a bunch of excuses, and, you know, shit happens, and whatever, injuries and all sorts of stuff. It's just, and the cycle continues. It's just really ridiculous. I think going back to your point on the culture stuff, Dan, I mean, to me at this point, I'm so sick of that with this team. I think that talent is a prerequisite for culture, you know, because a lot of times when you do it with the Flyers, it's like, oh, well, we'll get talent later. Let's do the culture stuff first. Yeah. All right, well, that's just going to mask a lot of your deficiencies. It's like, oh, well, we've got this great culture and now we're, you know, a bubble playoff team and maybe we don't really need to do what we thought we needed to do and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, ultimately, you got to get the talent on the team first and then you figure out everything from there. I just think that is the foundational building block above everything else, honestly. Like, I don't care if the guys all get along. There's always going to be problems, always going to be conflicts. Everybody's not going to like each other. I mean, we heard how many fucking years in a row that this team was like, oh, this is the best locker room I've ever been a part of. And
yeah,
all
when they
of
were
that
winning,
fucking crap.
You know, 5 games a year.
Yeah. And then they're, you know, getting beat like 8-2 by the Rangers and like these just horrendous blowouts and just lack of everything. It's like that to me has value. But we've been through that song and dance before. What we haven't been through is figuring out how to get legitimate top line players on this team that are all part of the same timeline. Do that first, then you can work on culture. And the second part of that bullshit stuff about culture is that this stuff isn't going to last. We've been through this so many times that in my opinion, I don't think this culture stuff really lasts more than a season or two. When head coaches change, when core player groups change, even when they don't change, but when there's new players on a roster from year to year, those teams establish their own identities and they form their own culture and they form their own ways of doing things. And that's on a rotational basis almost every year with each new team. And the fact that you think that it's like, okay, we've established this great culture now in year one of the rebuild, now that's set from here on out, we don't have to worry about it. That's not how it's going to be.
Yeah.
So the fact that that's variable is something that you can't control in year one. So why not focus your attention to building through talent first and then culture secondly? And that's kind of how I'd frame it.
Because it makes sense and they don't want to do that. They want culture. They want to have their culture, sell it to the masses, and they don't want
it's
to.
It's just short-sighted. Yeah,
it is. They don't want to build. If they can sell people on being a hard-working bubble team and they just buy into it, then they don't have to go out of their way to acquire the top guys. They don't have to make a trade for Zegers. They can just push it as culture.
Yeah, and the thing that's going to be annoying, too, is if they do take a step back next year, which they most certainly will, and then they're going to go back to the, oh, well, the rebuild isn't linear, and that's going to give them a whole other fucking free pass.
Yep.
You know, they use this word so much, this culture word, and it's just, it's convenient because there's a vague understanding of what it means. And it means so many things to so many different people that everybody can kind of nod their head and say, oh, yeah, I agree with the culture. I agree, Mike. This is coaching. This is a coach getting his players to buy in and play a certain way. And that's it. Remember, you know, think about culture, all the stuff that you were saying before, Mike, about every year. Oh, this is the greatest group of guys I've ever played with. Really?
Yeah, best locker room ever.
They fucking hated each other. They wouldn't talk to each other. Some guys would just do not want to associate with other players like Ivan Provorov.
Ivan P. Yeah.
Ivan P. And then think of the other ways to try to instill culture in this group, right? Remember Hextall when he banned fucking pizza?
You know, wings after the game.
Right. Why was that? It's because we want to build a culture. And what happened? The players all fucking mutinied. Because it's just they didn't have it. They didn't have a structure. They didn't have discipline. They've got structure and discipline with John Tortorella. That's the difference. This whole culture thing is a bunch of fucking just nonsense. Just people throw it around and they use it because it's fun and it's a buzzword and it's the only way that people can explain why this team's doing what they're doing. It's the coach and it's the buy-in. And then the guys that didn't buy in conveniently got a one-way ticket out of town.
Yep.
That's what happened.
Exactly right, Manny. And you know what? That same prototype can happen with a different coach a few years down the line. It's exactly right, man. It's about the buy-in and about the players doing what they're supposed to be doing and also figuring out how to problem solve. Because honestly, you don't want that country club type of locker room, which is what they had, because when a problem comes up, nobody wants to solve it because they don't want to be the bad cop. They don't want to stay late after practice and tell so-and-so that he's not doing something right and we're going to stay here for an extra hour or two until we get it right. Like, no one's doing that stuff because they don't want to appear like they're the asshole or they're the bad guy in all of this. But in order to fix problems, sometimes you got to do that stuff. And that's where, like, really good leadership will come into play. And it's something that the coaches and the leaders on the team need to do in parallel. Now there are ways away from that stuff happening, but you know, that's why I don't put a lot of stock in, you know, the culture thing as well. I think that the players change and that they're the ones that are going to need to figure out how to solve problems when you get to crunch time.
Yeah. It's like Nathan MacKinnon, you know, everybody respected Nathan MacKinnon when he didn't know, no carbs and no anything in terms of the diet. Yeah, I'm sure they would have listened to him if he was a 35-point player.
Yeah, right. Or he'd yell. And there was the thing last year about that came out. He would get pissed off at teammates for like making shitty passes during practice and stuff. And like, I love that stuff. It's like, hey, you know what? You practice like you play the game. And if your head's not in it, and if you're not trying to focus on being the best player you can be at practice, then you're going to be shitty in the game. And you know what? That kind of mentality has worked. I mean, that is a super team. That team is a cup contender yet again. They got great players. They're exciting players. And, you know, to have a guy like that, I think is fantastic. And if a guy wants to get angry at fucking teammates because they're not making passes properly, then so be it. Just bring it on. You know, your careers are very short in time here, so you need to maximize your talent. And I respect that a lot out of him.